Reading from the book of Exodus. A new king, who knew nothing of Joseph, came to power in Egypt. He said to his subjects, "Look how numerous and powerful the people of the children of Israel are growing, more so than we ourselves. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them to stop their increase. Otherwise, in time of war, they too may join our enemies to fight against us and to leave our country." Accordingly, taskmasters were set over the children of Israel to oppress them with forced labor. Thus they had to build for Pharaoh the supply cities of Pithom and Ramses. Yet the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. The Egyptians then dreaded the children of Israel and reduced them to cruel slavery, making life bitter for them with hard work and mortar and brick, and all kinds of field work, the whole cruel fate of slaves. Pharaoh then commanded all his subjects, throw into the river every boy that is born to the Hebrews, but you may let all the girls live." Verbum Domini. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Had not the Lord been with us, let Israel say, had not the Lord been with us when men rose up against us, then would they have swallowed us alive when their fury was inflamed against us. Then would the waters have overwhelmed us. The torrent would have swept over us. Over us then would have swept the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord who did not leave us a prey to their teeth.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
We were rescued like a bird from the fowler's snare. Broken were the snare, and we were freed. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus said to his apostles, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace upon the earth. I have come to bring not peace, but the sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's enemies will be those of his household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Whoever receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. But whoever receives a righteous man because he is righteous will receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives only a cup of cold water to one of these little ones to drink, because he is a disciple, amen, I say to you, he will surely not lose his reward. When Jesus finished giving these commands to his 12 disciples, he went away from that place to teach and to preach in their towns.
Verbum Domini.
Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. It's a song of deliverance. It's a song of thanksgiving, triumph, the Lord's triumph, and the Lord's help. When Jesus gave these commands to his 12 disciples, the commands about peace, true peace, ultimately that true peace would bring about division even. Notice at the end of the gospel, he goes into the towns of the 12 disciples, right after he preaches to them about a father being divided against his son, a mother against her daughter, a father-in-law against his son-in-law. He goes immediately into their towns to preach. Where does our loyalty rest? Loyalty is a good attribute, to be loyal. A virtuous person knows where his loyalty abides. Where does the crown rest? A loyalty to the Lord Jesus and his kingdom helps us to order properly all of our other loyalties in our life. And it's helpful to imagine John chapter 15. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you will, and it will be done unto you. The vine and the branches. Jesus is that true vine, and we are his branches grafted onto his body. And the Holy Spirit, you might say, is the sap that runs through the vines, that keeps the vine active and the branches grafted on. You might say a healthy tree, a healthy vine, a healthy branches has sap running through the tree, and it produces leaves. It produces fruits in the natural order. And so too, in the supernatural order, it produces the fruits of the Holy Spirit. love, joy, peace, patience, self-control, modesty, chastity. We are grafted onto the vine, the Lord Jesus. There might be other loyalties in our life, even other loves in our life. And those loves will find meaning and purpose when we are grafted onto Christ first, rooted in his love. Today we celebrate the feast day of St. Kateri Tekakwitha, a first-class relic of her, to pray for us and to intercede for us, especially in this Mass. And she's an example of God's little ones, those who approach the Lord with innocence and humility. The opening collect of today's Mass says, O God, who desired that the Virgin Saint Kateri Tekakwitha to flower among Native Americans in a life of innocence, grant through her intercession that when all are gathered into your church from every nation, tribe, and tongue, they may magnify you in a canticle of praise. That they may magnify you. What does that tell you? That God is to be magnified. That it's his light that is magnified. That it's his life. In the Blessed Virgin Mary's Canticle of Praise, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Mary's soul magnifies the Lord. The saints, too, magnify something of God. Saint Kateri was born to a pagan Mohawk chief and a Christian woman in 1656. And after an epidemic of smallpox took both her parents and her brother, Kateri was left an orphan at only 4 years of age. And though she also contracted smallpox, she was able to recover. However, it impaired partially her eyes, leaving her blind, partially blind, and left lasting scars on her face. And she would go out into public with a blanket over herself to hide her scars on her face. Saint Kateri is a saint for all those who are scarred, ashamed, and even shunned by society. You might say that most people's scars are not seen by the visible eyes. Most people's scars are in their past that they hold on to inside, the scars that nobody else sees. We ask Saint Kateri to intercede for all those scars in our life. Kateri was able to find a home with her uncle, who became the chief of the Mohawks in her father's stead. And she was raised in a tribe and taught the precepts of the faith. In 1676, Kateri was baptized by Father Jacques de Lambervalle, a Jesuit missionary who dedicated his life to evangelization of indigenous Americans. Kateri became a devoted Christian, and at the age of 20, she took a vow of chastity. While her exemplary piety served as an inspiration to some of those around her, others harassed her. Others shunned her. And seeking a less hostile environment, she moved to a settlement on the mission of St. Francis Xavier, a community of Christian Indigenous Americans living near what is called Montreal. Pope St. John Paul II said at her beatification in 1980, quote, when her family invited her to marry, She replied with great serenity and calm that she had Jesus as her only spouse. This decision, given the social status of women in the Indian tribes, exposed Kateri to the risk of being an outcast and living in poverty. It was a bold and unusual and prophetic act. On March 25th, 1679, at the age of 23, with the consent of her spiritual director, Kateri pronounced the vow of perpetual virginity. And as far as we know, it was the first time this had been happened among the Native Americans in North America, says Pope St. John Paul II, end quote. Only 5 years later, however, she was called home by the Lord, passing away at the young age of 24, April 17th, 1680. And before she slipped away from this world, her last words were, "Jesus, I love you." The same words that Pope Benedict XVI said when he died. Very simple words. "Jesus, I love you." Moments after her death, it is said her face became luminous and the scars disappeared. Wow. And people were able to see her true beauty without scars, the way God sees us. In heaven, there are no scars among those of us who have the gift of eternal life. There's only one set of scars in heaven upon the God-man. His hands, his feet, his side. Those are the only scars in heaven. Our scars disappear when we look upon the face of the God-man. St. Kateri Tekakwitha, in her short life, faced the opposition that our Lord speaks about in the gospel. The price of true discipleship is that it may divide. Our Lord's words, "I did not come to bring peace, but the sword," may be shocking. And this is a call not to violence or to take up arms or some sort of religious war. Truth is what divides. And yes, even within families, even within friends, and even the wider culture. Our Lord says, "For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's enemies will be those of his household. Whoever loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it, save it." And where does our loyalty abide? Our loyalty to Christ. Pope Benedict commented on this passage and said, quote, "The peace that Jesus brings is the fruit of a constant struggle against evil. And that struggle can result in division, spiritual warfare, the constant battle against evil. Taking up the spiritual armor of God, putting on the breastplate of Christ, the sword of the Spirit, spiritual warfare. The daily occurrence in the life of a Christian to enter into spiritual warfare. It's not just something that might come once a year or once every 10 years. But spiritual warfare is a reality of the Christian life, to always be aware of what's going on in the spiritual realm. Divisions will happen within families because of truth. Truth is meant to heal. Truth brings up things about ourselves that we'd rather not deal with, uncomfortable things, when we have to face truth, when we have to face Christ. And I invite you simply to allow yourself to be face to face with Christ and to allow him to look at you. That's what prayer is, coming face to face with truth. And even allowing those uncomfortable things to come up in your life. We all have them. Allowing those things to be exposed to truth, the uncomfortable things. The peace that our Lord promises is not cheap peace. True peace brings a challenge to pick up the cross and follow him. Compromise is not the way of the cross. Compromise is not the way of peace. St. Augustine says that, quote, peace is not real when it tolerates evil. Better to be divided from what is false than united in sin, end quote. Wow. Peace is not real if it tolerates evil. Better to be divided from what is false than be united in sin. That's not true communion, to be united in sin. True communion is to be united in God, united in truth. True peace is grounded in truth and righteousness, meaning holiness, charity. And superficial harmony doesn't last. It will fall apart. We see this in families. We see this in culture, society. True peace is not superficial. If it's not grounded in reality, if it's not grounded in truth, it will crumble. St. Augustine would rather see division caused by truth than superficial unity built on errors and lies. Augustine believed that peace without truth is false peace. That's why we pray for the fruit of the Holy Spirit. When we ask for the Holy Spirit's life, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the manifestation is peace. And it's not going to be absent of conflict. Peace is not the absence of conflict, even. But peace is true order, tranquility of order in one's life. And our Lord confronts sin and error to purify and save us, to rescue us. Again, our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Our help is from him. In short, it's better to be faithful to Christ and the gospel and to be misunderstood by those closest to us than to be unfaithful and well-liked. We ask St. Kateri Tekakwitha to help us to be faithful and to be loyal to Christ and to follow him no matter what the cost. Through her intercession, may the blessing of Almighty God, through St. Tekakwitha, be upon you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.